Once you're crystal clear of what your priorities are, then decision making becomes very easy. There's no maybe, there's no thing, there's a yes or a no.
Hey babes, it's Kayla Kraft with the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. I'm a mom of three littles, ER nurse turned self-made millionaire, and lifestyle entrepreneur. I am bringing you inspiring stories, business and mindset tips to help you be shameless in pursuing your ambitions. Hey, Mommy Millionaires, I am so excited about today's special episode because we have a legend on today for you guys, all right? Today, Sam Bakhtiar is a doctor, a multi-millionaire CEO, and he's also a social media influencer. He runs four different companies, including a fitness franchise that some of you guys have probably worked out at, the Camp Transformation Center, and he has 108 locations worldwide. I know we have one in Newport Beach. So excited. He's a champion bodybuilder, author, and entrepreneur, but he wasn't always like that. Sam was born in 1973 in Iran, a war-torn area, an active combat zone. So at 3 years old, his father left the family and never came back. Fleeing the war, Sam's family moved to France, then the U.S. as refugees. Then they settled in a small town called Sharon, Pennsylvania. Never heard of that place. And, you know, Sam was a misfit and he accidentally discovered his passion in fitness. So his passion led him to become the first bodybuilder in history to win first place in every weight class, all while attending school to become a doctor of chiropractic. So I am so excited to chat with you today, Sam. He also has the 1% movement, and you guys can get involved in that on social media. We're going to talk all the things that he is involved in, but I think the thing that he's most proud of is being a dad and a husband, and he has a newborn at home too.
10 weeks old.
10 weeks old. So I love it. Welcome, Sam, to the show.
Well, Kayla, you know, first of all, it's an honor and privilege to be on your show. You know, I'm so honored to be here. I'm so honored that you chose me to be on the show. And I cannot wait to talk to you more and try to bring as much value as possible to all the mommies out there.
Yes. Okay. So let's get into it. You know, how many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three kids. So do I.
Yeah. I have a 10-year-old daughter, a 6-year-old daughter, and a brand new 10-week-old son.
So they're all girls.
No, two girls and one boy. The last one is a boy.
Oh, the baby's a boy. Okay,
Finally got the boy. It was too much estrogen here, man. I mean, this whole house is pink and things like that. I just told him, please, just the garage and the office, please let that be daddy's. Everything else is yours. So everything is pink and purple and white. And now, you know, I just have two places. Now, finally, I got a boy I can play with.
Okay, so, you know, you had your dad leave when you were 3 years old.
Yeah.
And I've heard you speak before. I know that really transformed the way that you looked at life.
Yes.
So I like to know small talk. Let's get into the nitty gritty right away. Cause I think the mommy millionaires listening in right now, after they've heard your, you know, long list of accolades, It could seem like you're so far away from where they want to be. And I know there's a lot of men that listen in too. And so I want you just to paint the picture of how far away you were from this point too.
Man, I mean, first of all, you know, when you look at someone like me and you think like it's so far away, it's not. It's really not. You know, I'm just somebody who went through life just like you're going through life.
Yeah.
You know, the only difference between me and someone else that might not be where they want to be is just I just didn't give up. You know, I understand that life is going to punch you in the face. And if you think you're going to go through life and not get knocked down, then you're mistaken. So life is going to punch you in the face. Knock is going to knock you down. As you said, you have to have a choice to say, be resilient enough to understand that's part of the territory. That's what's going to happen and be able to push through. And not having a dad, man, you know, at the time was very devastating because, I mean, when I look back in my life, and for those people who are listening to this and watching this, when they look back at their life, you know, if you look at the times that you were devastated, and you thought it was like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And that thing ended up being the best thing that ever happened to you. And to me, you know, at the time, of course, as a kid, I was devastated because everybody had their dad. Everybody was getting, you know, not, had nice homes and getting nice presents with their dad and Christmas time and had daddy and me time and daddy and dad were doing, you know, men things together. I didn't have that. I can't even put a picture on the wall without being crooked. I have no man skills. You know what I mean? I really don't. You know, when my wife says, hey, you know, the faucet is not working, can you fix it? I'm like, I don't know how to do that. It's called handyman. You know what I mean? And so growing up, you know, I felt kind of bad, but what I told myself is no matter what, you know, I'm going to be the dad that I never had. I'm going to become that super dad. And I want to be able to just provide for my children, become the best dad possible. And so that became my devastation, became my superpower.
You know, I love that. Your devastation became your superpower.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I now, you know, as soon as my kids were born, it's funny, you know, I got rid of my motorcycles. You know what I mean? I started getting life insurance. I mean, right away, like not even when I saw the kids in the womb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, now I'm like, let me, you know, I don't want to get a motorcycle accident. I don't want to die. Let me get a life insurance. I started a 529 account. I started a growth account. And right now I just automatically start putting money away. I mean, I don't even have the passwords to their account. It automatically takes out of my bank and goes every month, goes to their account. I can't even stop it. And these little fools have more money than when I had in my 30s. I'm looking at them, I'm like, you guys are some rich kids. I'm looking at their account, I'm like, I hope you don't go to college because that'll be daddy's Ferrari account.
You know, so I hear all of this and I think your kids are already living a life that you probably didn't even know existed when you were their age, right? I mean, I saw you on Instagram with your brand new Sprinter and I'm like, wow. I mean, that's hashtag goals. You guys have to see this. You have to follow him and see all of his cars on Instagram. But how do you have that? Because you're such a hard worker because you came from nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you raise these kids and make sure that they still know the value of a dollar? You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to inspire them. I'm not going to give anything to them. They have to work for what they have to get. But I want them to see that and inspire. I'm going to share my story with them. You know, I'm going to give them enough to do something, but not so much that they don't do anything.
That's good.
You know what I mean? You know, just enough to do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always like tell myself, like, first of all, my kids are going to be ahead because they're not going to have like the mindset junk that we had to go through with the dad being gone and all this like just heartbreak. Yep. And so that's the first leg up that we give them. And then you give them a little bit of money just to get started if they're hungry enough to go and work and make their money work for them. So
Kayla, the other day, my little 6-year-old came up to me. She just turned 6. And, you know, a lot of times you're talking and you're doing business transactions and you don't think they're listening.
Mm-hmm. But they always are.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it comes out. You know what I mean? I'm going like, what the hell? So she goes like this. She goes, check this out, daddy. She goes, I need to make some, and just like this, I need to make some money. You know, and I'm going like, well, what do you want to do? She goes, well, there's 3 things we can do to make money. I can open up a gym, you know, just like you, daddy. You know, or I can just get a lemonade stand, you know, or, you know, I want a YouTube account. I want a YouTube account and I want to open up presents and I want to show everybody my presents and my review presents. And, you know, that kid, I guess, that's making millions of dollars and open up. So I want to do that. And I'm going like, wow. I'm like, well, if you buy get a lemonade stand, how do you make money? What do you do? She goes, well, we buy lemons and water cheap and we sell them high. And I was like so proud. It's daddy's proud moment right there. You know, it was so cool to see, like, you know, everything that I'm talking around here is somehow through osmosis, you know, is going through her brain.
Absolutely. And she thinks anything is possible. So I love that. So, okay. You become a doctor. Do you open up your own chiropractic place first?
No, I don't. You know, the only reason I became a doctor, Kayla, is because, you know, I'm Middle Eastern. And in our culture,
everybody has to be a doctor.
Yeah. It's doctor, lawyer, engineer, doctor, obviously at the top. And my mom said, become a doctor because if you're not a doctor, you're not successful and all that. So, you know, I was in love with bodybuilding, you know, and I said, what kind of doctor has to do with muscles, bones, and all this stuff, nutrition, everything I have to do. So doctor of chiropractic it was. And I became a doctor, gave my diploma to my mom. My mom, you know, for 2 weeks, you know, called all her friends and bragged her son is a doctor. But I said, Mom, can I open up a gym now? And I then started my gyms in February 15th of 2000.
Wow. Okay. So you opened them up in 2000, then the recession happens in 2008. And how does that affect you?
Well, in 2000, I didn't know anything about business, right? So I didn't know anything about business, you know, but I knew how to get people in shape. But just by pure debt and pure hustle, working from 4 a.m. to like 8, 9 p.m., Monday through Friday, Saturday from 7 to 3, and Sunday from 7 to noon, you know, I started making money. And what I mean by money, remember, I'm from Sharon, Pennsylvania, where, you know, you make $20 an hour, you freaking made it.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, you made it. Average income, average household income, I think is like $18,000 a year right now. Right now.
Wow.
So I was making...
Is your mom still there, by the way?
No, my mom just moved here last year. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I started making, like, you know, in 2000, $10,000 a month. In 2002, $15,000. In 2005, $20,000 a month. And to me, I'm from Sharon, you know, $10,000-$20,000 a month, man. I was
living active, large.
I was P. Diddy at the club. You know, I was going out, you know, bottle surfers, making it rain, just doing dumb stuff. Like, you know, kind of like, you know, you never had money before. You don't even know what to do with it, right?
Right.
You know, and I was doing good till all of a sudden 2008 recession. And man, talking about getting punched. You know what I mean? I got knocked out. I was knocked out cold because I didn't see it coming. Nobody's ever taught me about the ups and downs in the economy.
Right.
I thought I was an investor buying my first home at 260 and selling it for 600 3 years later. I thought I was the man. You know what I mean? You know, I thought I was, you know, I'm like, I just touch anything turns to gold. You know? And,
your head is like this big.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't tell me nothing, man. You couldn't tell me nothing. I was bodybuilding. I was at my top of my bodybuilding career. And I was this muscle bound guy with a big ego. You couldn't tell me. We're driving a BMW going to the club. You know, you're a typical douchebag, you know what I mean? So that's what I was, you know, and then when 2008 hit, you know, it didn't even slow down. At one time in 2007, my studio was doing about $2.4 million in gross revenue. And in 2009, about a year and a half, 2 years, I was only doing $600,000 in gross revenue. So I lost $1.8 million gross revenue. And I'll never forget, you know, I got married. I didn't want to have children until I was financially secure. When I thought I was financially secure, you know, my ex-wife was pregnant. And I remember I called her and I said, you know what? I need to talk to you at a restaurant. Because I kept putting my savings back into the business and nothing was happening.
Oh.
And, you know, I kept bleeding, yep. bleeding, you know. And now all of a sudden I have no more money. So I remember, you know, we met at a restaurant called Pizziola's here in Chino Hills. And she's 6-7 months pregnant. I'm looking at her belly and I broke down. Just broke down. I mean, I'm getting emotional talking about it right now. Just broke down. You know, I said, you know what? We don't have anything. I'm minus $314 in the bank account. And in 2 weeks, there's $20,000 due for payroll. I don't know what to do. But I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to liquidate some stuff. I'm going to try to, you know, do whatever I need to do. Mm-hmm. But I don't want you to go to work. I don't want you to do anything. Just stay home. Take care of everything that you need to do. I'll go make things happen. And from 2009 to 2014, you know, we were struggling. We were struggling. I was just going out there working 15, 18, 20 hours a day. I was coming home and felt so defeated. I would sit on the couch and I was literally incoherent. She would talk to me and I wouldn't even hear. I would just hear her mouth go like this and nothing was coming to my head because I just felt I was like, had PTSD, if you see, like kind of like a PTSD syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And, we were getting foreclosure notices on the house. We were getting so many things was happening.
Oh my God.
You know, I mean, it was tough, you know, it was tough. And that was the beginning of the end of our relationship because I was just worried about keeping ahead. I wasn't communicating with her. I was just coming home tired, you know, grumpy.
You're just in survival mode.
Yeah. I was just in survival mode. And in 2014, towards the, you know, mid 2014, I started making more money. I started like seeing the end of the tunnel, you know, my house was still being foreclosed. I still hadn't saved my house. And one day, you know, me and her getting a big fight and I'm like, all right, we got a big fight, whatever, you know, and then I go to work. I get served with divorce papers.
Oh my gosh.
Which was like, you know, even though our relationship was pretty much broken just because I never had a dad, I never wanted that. So I would have rolled it out.
Yeah.
And I've been miserable just because of my kids. I would have done that, you know? And I never forget that. That was, money is one thing. Now my family is the whole different. Mm-hmm. Now I lost my family, you know, and I didn't know what to do. You know, I moved out of the house. I thought it was going to be a temporary thing. We're just fighting. No big deal. You know, I went to a hotel, you know, like a real cheap hotel. Yeah.
It's just going to be a couple nights.
I should, you know, I'm like, you know what? I just pay. I negotiated a month. You know, I'm here and I was like $70 a night. You know, I was like negotiating. No joke. Sorry. You know, and 1 month passed, you know, nothing's happening. 2 months passed, nothing. 3 months passed. I'm living in a hotel. And it's so funny because my oldest one, you know, I would go get her. I would bring her to the hotel with me. And to this
day, she has to be what, 5 at this point?
Yes, correct. Correct. And then when to this day, whenever we drive by there, she goes, "Daddy, you used to live there." I'm like, "Shut up." like, you don't remember that, you know? And so, you know, it was kind of like the biggest devastation because I remember sitting in that hotel room, the little cheap hotel room, 40 years old, bawling. Literally bawling and said, you know, "Sam, you're a loser. You know, you were broke and now you're just starting to make some money and now you lost your family. You know, now you're not going to see your kids every day like you wanted to, you know, so what are you going to do? You know, you might as well just go out there, start drinking and start dating and start doing stupid things." That's one, there was a devil on this side was saying, you know, go out there, you know, go and date girls and you're single now and go get drunk. And I'm like, you know what? That's not what I'm about. Cause that's just a temporary mask, you know. Plus I've seen my friends who took in that route and got DUIs and they just messed up their whole life. So I'm like, you know what? No, I'm like, what's my top priority in life? My top priority in life was always and will always be spend as much time with the family and my girls, you know? And I was like, all right, well now by court, I only see my girls on Wednesdays and on the weekends. Right. So when I'm not with my girls, what I'm going to do? So what I'm going to provide for my girls. So literally, I was either working or I was spending time with my girls. I was either working or spending time with my girls. I didn't do anything. I became crystal clear of what I wanted to do in life. And I want people who are listening to understand that once you're crystal clear of what your priorities are, then decision-making becomes very easy. There's no maybe. There's no thing. There's a yes or a no.
If somebody
says, "Sam, you know, come to Yard House, man. Let's have a drink and watch the game." I'm like, does that give more time with my kids? Nope. Does that give me more money for the kids? Nope. The answer is no. If somebody say, "Sam, come to the Yard House. I got a, you know, business thing to go about." I'm there. You know what I mean? If it's going to give me more time with the kids or give me more money for the kids, I'm there. If it doesn't fit this too, I'm out.
Absolutely. Yep. I love that because a lot of people, they experience decision fatigue, you know, because they don't know their core values, right? And I'm the same exact way. I think we've kind of talked about this thing before, but you know, it has to be in alignment with my future. Like, and if it's not, I'm not doing it. And it's super easy. And a lot of people are just so tired because they're confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It's so easy. When you know who you want to be, you know, it's yes or no. There's no gray area.
You know, I've learned to do that, man. There's no gray area with me. It's always been a yes or a no. It's an easy decision. And, you know, sometimes it gets me in trouble, you know, because like Sunday, you know, this last Sunday, you know, my wife, you know, I said, "Sam, you know, my mom and dad called, the Rams game is on at 10 o'clock. You know, you want to go watch it?" I'm like, "No." And she's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Maybe I should have stated it nicer, right?" I'm like, because my internal thing is like, "Nope. It doesn't give me what I want. You know, I need to do other stuff. I'm not going to sit down and watch the Rams game for 2 hours. It doesn't give me no more money. It doesn't give me no more time." You know, but now, yeah, I'm like, I could have said it in a nicer way.
Yeah. Next time. Getting better for next time.
I'm learning.
Right? Okay. So, you know, I know people at home are thinking, well, you know, he did have it bad. Do people have to experience a rock bottom point like you in that cheap hotel room where you're going, the devil on one shoulder and then good Sam on the other one, you know, do they need to experience that much of a rock bottom or can they do something now to change their life? Because there's a lot of people that are, they're just too freaking comfortable, right? Okay. You are broke. Exactly. You are a broken man.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, Tony Robbins calls it the no man zone.
Ooh, what's this? Tell me about it.
So you're either at the top, which I mean, that's what everybody wants to be.
Right.
or you're at the rock bottom, right? You're at the bottom, and you're like, and then you're starving. You want to, you have to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the no man's zone is the middle. But you're not really at the top, but you're not really uncomfortable. You're just freaking cruising.
Oh,
that's the worst place to be. That's the worst place to be. You're not, you didn't make it. You don't have what you want. You're not really where you want to be, but you're not in pain because, you know, here's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that in order for change to happen, think about it. The pain of staying the same has to be greater than the pain of change.
Yes.
Right? So that's what, you know, I mean, look, most people want to lose weight, right? Most people want to lose weight and, you know, and they don't lose weight because they're comfortable. They're comfortable. Then there's, it comes that moment. Something happens. Something triggers where all of a sudden they're running around the kids and they can't run around the kids and they're running out of breath.
Right.
And the kid goes, mommy, come play with me. And now she can't play. Or there comes that moment. Somebody says something negative to them and they're like, okay, I'm going to show you that pain. So if you are listening to this, you don't have to go through the pain. Okay. You don't have to, you don't have to have that. You just have to have a plan and stick to it. Learn that. Comfort is the enemy of progress.
Yes.
Nobody's going to get anything done Netflix and chilling. I sure as hell wasn't going to get anything done, you know, watching a Rams game on Sunday. But, you know, I should, you know, but just say it in a nicer way than I do.
Okay. So, you know, you're probably one of the most, I think actually you are the most disciplined person I know. I see you like every morning you get up at what, 4 o'clock?
Great.
Three. You get up at three. He heads to the gym, does all of his things, and you do this day after day after day. How do people build discipline? Because discipline is a necessity. You have to have it in order to be successful. There's nobody I know that, you know, is successful and doesn't have discipline.
So here's the thing with discipline. Discipline is only needed for a short burst of time so habit and routine take over.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like people look at me from the outside, they're like, gosh, man, what is he, a broccoli eating cyborg? I bet you all he eats is just fish and chicken. And then I will see, I just had In-N-Out earlier. And I'm human. The first time I need to get up earlier, my first early was 6 o'clock and I hated that. Then I had to do something. Then it became 5 o'clock. Then it became 4 o'clock. Then it became 3 o'clock. You know, and God forbid, if I need to get up at two, I will. I do. They say, Sam, what do? I do whatever it takes.
Mm.
Right? So here's the thing. In the beginning, I was just like anybody else. I'm no different than anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, when the alarm clock sounds, I'm like, oh gosh, what a cold outside, man. I don't feel like that. You know, Sam, you've been overtraining. And I heard overtraining is not good for muscle, you know. Or Sam, oh, you know, my back hurts. Oh, you know what? I got a lot of stuff going. You know what? I have a sore throat. I don't want to get out of bed. Do you feel it? I feel it, right? So I had all these damn excuses why I didn't want to get out of bed. You know, the alarm clock was, I would hit the snooze button, or I'd shut it off. And I said, you know what? You have to be honest with yourself and know how to beat yourself. Because the only person that can beat you is you,
mm-hmm.
right? So here's what I did. So I put my alarm clock 15 feet away, you know, 50. So now I got to get out of the bed.
Yep. You have to play games with yourself.
Yeah,
yep.
I gamify everything. Mm-hmm. And then right next to my alarm clock, I put my pre-workout that has 300 milligrams of caffeine. You know what I mean? So right there.
At 3 a.m.
At 3 a.m. So I'm drinking my cup. And after that.
I'm going back to sleep after that.
There's no sleep after that. You know what I mean? So try to figure out what you have to do to get in your way. The reason I automated my kids' savings. I honestly don't have the password to them. Like I have to ask my financial advisor. I said, Roger, I don't want the password. You set it up. It automatically takes a certain amount of money and goes there. Because even if something happens and I was in bad need of money, I don't want to touch their account.
Yep. That's a rule you've set for yourself. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
powerful.
You know, here's for your listeners. Here's what I always say. For people who are listening to this, every one of us take a shower every day, I hope. You know, and every one of us brushes our teeth every day. Like nobody drives down a 405 freeway all of a sudden on the way to work and say, oh shoot, turn around, forgot to take a shower, forgot. Let me do that.
Right.
But you know what, 300-400 years ago, nobody had running water, nobody had fluoride or toothpaste. This is learned behavior that became automatic.
Right.
Exercise can be the same thing. Mm-hmm. Anything can be the same thing. All you have to do is commit to it for a little while. You know, no matter what, go through it because there's times that you don't want to do it. There's times that you want to back out. Women are tough. Women are tough. They give birth. If we have to give birth, man.
No, that's not going to happen. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. When I saw what my wife went through, I'm like, oh, shoot, man, I don't want mm-mm. You know, so you got to be able to learn how to be able to surpass that and be able to beat that person that's going to, you know, that little devil here that's going to, like, you know, keep you away.
Okay, so you go through a divorce, and where is the camp at this point in time? Is there more than one location?
That's a good question. That's such a good question, Kayla. And that was like, it was a bitter divorce. And not.
Oh, I bet. I mean, you had to have been so in your own like little world to not know you were getting served divorce papers.
I was like, hey, we got in a fight. Okay. I mean, who doesn't get in a fight?
Yeah.
Like we got in a fight, and it was a bad fight, but it was a fight. You know what I mean? So I got divorce papers. Camp, we only had at the time of divorce, there was like six locations.
Okay.
You know, six locations. And that's the, and gosh, man, I think you have the woman intuition. you asked the right, because nobody's ever asked me that. Nobody's even went there.
Really?
Yeah, nobody's ever went there, you know? So at the time, there were six locations. And remember, I told you that I dedicated myself to work and my kids.
Yep.
I had nothing better to do. I had nothing better. What am I going to do? So All I did was work. And I started blowing up the camp. Till all of a sudden, you know, in 2014, I made what I made. In 2015, I tripled it. In 2016, I quadrupled that. In 2016, I quadrupled that again. And so all of a sudden, I went from the guy who was married, who was really not making any money, to the guy who was making any money, a lot of money. And now my ex-wife was like, wait a second, where's all this money come from? I was like, why is he having all this money? You know, and so that was the whole cause of, you know, bitter divorce. And then obviously getting married to a younger woman, you know, oh my God, it was like, believe me, you name it, you know, as far as drama, I can write a book. I can write a
I'm series. I'm sure there's going to be a book coming.
I can write a series on Netflix. To this day, I can write a series and it still continues, you know,
do you have the kids 50% of the time?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, and here's what one thing that I will tell, you know, your listeners and things that are.
There's a lot of women listening in that are going through a divorce or have gone through a divorce.
You know, here's one thing that I will tell you right now. You know, I'm going to give you a men's perspective.
Yeah.
You know, look, divorce is never easy. You know, if you can work it out. If there's issues that can be workable, it's workable. To me, there's only two things that warrant divorce. You know, lack of respect and lack of trust. Because if you know, there's no respect, then you can't be around each other. You're going to start saying mean things to each other. Mm-hmm. And if obviously there's no trust, then, you know, I'm not going to wonder where my wife is all 24/7 a day. I have to be able to, you know,
you can't
to trust her and to trust people.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think we started having lack of respect for each other, you know, and because we started, you know, getting in fights and calling each other names and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, it's definitely not a good thing.
And it's not good for the kids either. I mean,
yeah. Well, you never did it in front of the kids, thank God. You know what I mean? But we did go at it, you know. And for those people who are listening, you know, like I said, if a relationship is salvageable, and you can live with the person, you're just going through some rough times, write it out. Nobody wants to write it out this year. Yeah, I mean, anymore. Anymore. They just want to I'm done.
Right.
You know, but if it's totally done. And at least be amicable for the kids' sakes.
Right.
No, be amicable for the kids. I mean, I've tried with my ex-wife to try to be as amicable as possible, and it's just not possible, you know? And I see that it affects, especially my older daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it affects my older daughter.
Kids are so intuitive. They know what's going on without things even having to be said.
I'm going to give you an example. Because I know a lot of women are, you know, are here, they're going through it and all that kind of stuff. I'll give you an example. You know, obviously my oldest daughter is 10. She understands that, oh, mama and daddy really don't get along and they really don't talk, you know?
Mm, yeah.
So I went to pick them up in a few months ago. I picked both of them up and they're like, daddy, you know, you told us you're going to take us to Barnes and Noble and you're going to buy us some books. And I said, sure. That's what I promised you. I'm going to do good on my promise. But under one condition, I said, the book's going to stay in daddy's home.
Oh, and God. They're like, you know what I mean?
No, but you know, because I want them to have the stuff to be here, right?
Right.
They said, okay. You know, so they went and bought some books, and now they're leaving. My cousin is taking them back home. And my oldest daughter, I saw her backpack. The backpack's full of books. And I'm like, hey, come here. I go, what's in your backpack? All of a sudden she gets all nervous. Oh, daddy, daddy. I'm like, hey, we had a deal. I go, if you want to take something, just let me know. But don't sneak out from it, because that's called being dishonest. That's called stealing. And that's not okay. You have to be honest all the time and let me know what you want to do. I said, I tell you what, I bought you 3 books. Take one, I'm gonna keep 2. And you take one. Is that okay? So we give each other a hug, and everything is fine. So when she goes home, my cousin says she runs to her mom and cries, daddy was mean, daddy, I don't want to see daddy again. And you know, and all that kind of stuff. And daddy was mean. And her mom emails me, and I'm like, what? I'm like, look, she's playing us. She knows we don't talk. Here's what I need you to do. Let her know that she needs to, you know, follow rules and everything else. And she goes, okay. So I go to pick her up next time. And she sends me an email. She says, she doesn't want to go with you anymore. And so I haven't seen my daughter, my oldest daughter, now for 3 or 4 months. That's the only thing I did was talk to her about, you know, discipline, and talk to her about being honest and open and not taking anything without asking and all that kind of stuff. That's all I did. So, you know what happened? So now...
That's heartbreaking, Sam.
It's heartbreaking, but here's the thing. Now I had to hire an attorney for her on her behalf.
Right.
I have to go through that. And if I was an average Joe,
mm-hmm.
I would not ever see my kid again.
Yeah, because it's expensive to hire that attorney.
Absolutely. And I asked my attorney, I go, what does an average Joe does that makes $100,000 a year?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They don't
get
it. They just don't get to see their kid.
And they go, you don't know how many people that happens to. Mm-hmm. Now, because you're able to hire an attorney on her behalf and, you know, that kind of stuff, you're going to be able to see your kid here, but it's going to take a couple of months. You know, it's mm-hmm. just crazy. And so this all could be avoided by parents just working together, no matter if they can or cannot stand each other, but it's for the betterment of the children.
Absolutely. I mean, that at the end of the day, like, kids are going to get upset at their parents for little things. And at the end of the day, she needs her dad just as much as she needs her mom.
No, I told her mom, I said, look, if the shoe was on another foot, and she said, oh, mom was mean, and mom said this, and, you know, I don't want to see your mom again. I go, look, as long as you weren't in physical danger, as long as there's no abuse or anything like that, you need to go talk to your mom. You can't stay here. You need to go hash it out with your mom. But, you know, when there is other things involved, you know what I mean?
So this is like blowing my mind right now, Sam, because you're going through
it. I bet you didn't know you're gonna get this out of me now.
I'm so thankful, honestly, that you're being so vulnerable, because, you know, you're still going through it. 5 years, it sounds like, of just this kind of stuff.
I'm having an appointment tonight, you know, to talk to a child counselor with my daughter. You know, so for people who are looking at me, like you said, you guys see, you know, the mansions.
The glory,
You know, I have struggles too. I'm no different.
But the discipline is what keeps you on track to continue to move forward. But, you know, how, because I feel like, you know, as an influencer, as the visionary of the Camp Transformation Center, plus you have the 1% or nutrition, you know, that's that whole like health and wellness company. How do you stay in creative mode and in visionary mode when you're over here, you know, fighting this battle?
You know, I just make time for it. You know, there's times that I just schedule alone time.
Okay.
I do. You know, I schedule a long time there where I'm sitting here, you know, I'm either here or I go to the beach and I just sit down and just don't think about nothing. And, you know, creativity comes from when you're in what I call parasympathetic mode.
Okay. You know,
there is sympathetic nervous system, mm-hmm. which is your fight or flight.
Yep.
When you're in everyday work mode and you're trying to get this done and get that done and get done, you can't be creative because you're trying your fight or flight. There's no creativity when a bear is trying to get you. There's no creative. You either are fighting or flying in the everyday work environment. When you're putting out fires and you're fighting this and you're fighting that, there's no creativity. So you have to schedule creativity when there is relaxation time. You're just sitting there, not doing anything, and or just, believe it or not, even having a drink. You know what I mean? Just having a drink. I don't drink, but having a drink, you know, just to relax your mind and be able to, you need to schedule that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I 100% agree. Do you meditate every day?
You know, Kayla, to be honest with you, I want to. You know, I want to, but in my mind, I think I need professional help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you have somebody really good that can help me meditate, I will hire that person, because I will sit here and it's hard for me to get in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's part of my whole to-do. As a matter of fact, part of my checklist is there's a place in Orange County, they do those float tanks. Have you ever done those?
Yeah.
You do love it?
On Harbor Boulevard, there's a great float tank place. Yeah,
you gotta text me the place, man. Because I want to go do that, man. Because obviously, I mean, I'm one of those guys, because I've been fighting or flying all my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's part of my innate thing. I never had a steady home or a steady thing. We either moved, we're getting, you know, I didn't have a dad. We're getting bombed on, moved to a different country. Got made fun of, got in fights because I didn't belong. You name it, I was always in fight or flight. So it's kind of like in my hard drive. So I need somebody to erase my hard drive so I can be more zen.
Oh, namaste. Yeah,
but when I see people like zen, I'm like, God, I want to be like you. So
I know, I am the same way, Sam. I get jealous of people that are so zen. I'm like, gosh, I wish I could be that calm all the time. But that's why there's awesome things like float tanks. I mean, I have a meditation coach that comes to my house once a week, and she guides me through a meditation, because I try to do it every day, but I can't last longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah. If you don't mind, you know, if she has time and she don't mind, I will love that referral.
Yeah. I'll totally send you some people. I mean, I've worked with people for breath work. I mean, you name it, just to like chill. And it's like an ongoing
my meditation. My meditation is 4 o'clock in the morning, listening to Tupac. And listen, and lifting some insane weights and shouting and flexing in front of the mirror. that's my type of meditation, but I need the other one.
Yeah, you need that's because that's again, that's fighting still. That's still you're getting out aggression.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I love it though. Okay, so you know, you sell health and wellness supplements. Yeah. So let's talk about those really quick, because that's what I got my start in, was in a network marketing company, and I sold health and wellness supplements. And I mean, they just changed my life, because health, and I mean, obviously, you know, America specifically is an obese nation. Yes. You know, we have obese children. It's a sad epidemic that's going on. And the fact that you offer these supplements are really life-changing. When the products change lives, like that's when you actually make more money, obviously. So how did you get, you know, okay with going, okay, I already have the camp.
Yeah.
You've already, you know what it's like to lose and to be broken down and have $20,000 of payroll coming up and not have the money to cover it. How do you get to that point where you're like, okay, I'm going to take another risk and open up another division and rock it out? Like, how do you get to that point?
Well, supplements and working out was always part of my life. I mean, ever since, you know, you know the story, you know, I came to America, mm-hmm. I wanted to play football, you know, with a foot. And they're like, no, this is football. And so I started lifting and I fell in love with weightlifting, and my mom would give me like $20 a month or $20 every other week allowance. I will go to GNC and I will buy like the latest, you know, amino acid or protein powder or potion. Yeah. And I would do a set in front of a mirror. I was like 14 years old. I would just like do a set and I would just drink a protein shake. I'm like, hey, did anything change? Did anything change? And did I look any different? You know? And I was always infatuated. So when the camp right now has become its own entity, it's almost like a kid that went to college.
Yeah.
You know, so I really don't need to do anything much with the camp. You know, I'm the visionary, but we have CEOs and CFOs and attorneys and everything else that it doesn't even get to me anymore. So me being the person that I am, I can't sit still. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, I'm passionate about supplements. I'm proud because I've been taking them all my life. If you come to my house, I have a supplement pantry, not a food pantry. I have a food pantry and a supplement pantry full of all different kinds of supplements, because I'm that guy who is like, just like a 14-year-old kid, I'll go work out and I'll come in. Let me try this potion, see what it does. You know what I mean? I'm always trying to hack the body to get bigger, stronger, faster, leaner. And so that was the next progression with the 1% nutrition and 1% life, you know, movement. I want to be able to help people to get in shape faster, safer, and more fun. You know, that doesn't have to be diet, doesn't have to be that boring. Like, I have this protein pudding that is just amazing. You feel like you're just eating cake, and it's just all
I need to get protein. Some of that.
I got you. I'll send it to you.
Do you have any plant-based stuff, or is it all dairy?
I'm working on a plant-based stuff. I'm working, you know, here's the thing.
Okay, good.
There's only two plant-based proteins out there that, and if you come look right now, I have like six different types of plant-based protein because I want to see who actually make a plant-based protein that tastes really good. Because most of them, man, you can take a regular protein shake, then you go to plant-based, like, ugh.
It's a hard switch to make.
So there's two companies that I think they're doing a pretty good job at plant-based protein.
Okay. You know?
And so I'm going to try to see if I can get the flavoring like them. One of them is, First Form, my buddy Andy Frisilla owns. Plant-based protein, man, is really good. And the other one, gosh, it's right here on my cabinet. I got to go get it. It's Nature's Way, I think, or something like that. That they have a really good tasting plant protein. But if you...
Is it pea based or?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. I get all like nerdy on that kind of stuff just because I sold it forever. But I'm excited for the plant-based because that's really like the next generation. So that's cool. What else is coming up for you? Because I know you spend so much money and time on just being an influencer, right? Like you have a full-time video team.
Yeah.
So why is that so important to you?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we are in an attention economy, right? There has been no other time in the world where you can become a voice. All you have to do is put out the right content and be able to be consistent about it. When I started our gyms in 2000, if I wanted to reach mass markets, I have to go to radio or television, which was like really reserved for Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Budweiser, Chevrolet. And now with social media, even a small person like me can go out there and compete with the best of the best. Out in the real world. So with me being an influencer is I want to be able to give as much content away. And then every once in a while, when I do have something that I think is going to benefit people, that will be able to present it. But it's not just for that. It's just to be able to, my house was being foreclosed on, Kayla. When I was broke, I wasn't thinking about becoming significant. I wasn't thinking about, helping other people because I was drowning. When you're drowning, you can't help anyone else. Right? And now that, I'm in a place where, the house is paid for, my cars are paid for, I don't have zero debt, and I could just do whatever I want, whenever I want. Why not provide value to people? Why not, share my story with people? Why not be able to go out there and inspire people? So, just like you, I'm sure you get dozens and dozens of messages from the woman that you inspire because you are so inspirational. I'll follow you. I see your stuff, and doesn't it make you feel good when people text you and message you back? Oh, Kayla, you changed my life. You don't even know this person, but just you being you and sharing your message, and that's what
drives it's the best feeling. It is. It's the best feeling.
You know what I mean? Like I get messages. I'm like, who is this person? They say, wow, you changed my life. You don't know, but you changed my life. That's the best feeling. And, at the end of the day, one of my favorite quotes is by Tony Robbins. And he says, success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand that when I wasn't successful because I was drowning. My home was being foreclosed on. It's hard for me to give value to others because I don't,
Right. Now, you're still trying to figure it out.
Now I'm good. We went to, you're going to laugh about this. We went to a restaurant and we left. And all of a sudden, a day later, I get a message from this lady. Oh my God, I was sitting right next to you guys. I want to say so hi. And I didn't. And when you left, I kicked myself because I didn't say hi to you guys and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, well, you should have said hi. But I didn't want to bother you. She goes, but I really have some questions for you. And I just invited her over to the office. I was like, why don't you just come over to the office? And I just made her life. I'm like, why not? I mean, why not? Why not? If you can make a difference in somebody's life, if you can make their day or whatnot, what is it going to take it out? It's not taking anything away from me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I love that. So now this big headed guy has come back down to earth and you're helping so many people on this planet. Seriously.
The big headed guy was an insecure guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you have an ego, if you're big-headed, it's because you're insecure. That was my, 27, 28-year-old insecure person who never had anything. All of a sudden started making little money. He thought it was big money,
Yeah.
And, he was trying to prove to everybody he's somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, honestly, Kayla, I don't give a F mm-hmm. if anybody likes me. I'm as transparent as it can be. I just told you my dirty laundry here. And I don't care how anybody wants to know, they can know my dirty laundry. What you see is what you get at the end of the day.
I love that. Because so many women listening in right now, they might be in their 30s, 40s, 50s, some even in their 60s, and they still care so much about what other people think. And so they're not putting themselves out there. They're not growing their business like they should. And what do you say to those people? Because it's like, you've been to rock bottom. So you're like, whatever, it's only up from here. Right. But for some people in that no man's zone, they still care.
The only person that can really judge you is a man upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, what do you think about yourself when you put your head on a pillow every night? Yep. And the kind of person you are, you know what I mean? And that's the only thing. If you are going to be, if you think that, if you're trying to have everyone like you, that's the fastest way to disaster, mm-hmm. Because nobody talks bad about somebody who's below them.
Yep.
They're going to talk bad about somebody who's above them.
Yep.
So the biggest freedom for me and for people who are listening to this, please take my word. Be you.
Mm-hmm.
Be unapologetically you. It's such a freedom to that I don't have to worry about what I say or what I do, what I told this person versus what I told this person, what I did in this and that. I don't care. I just do not care. At the end of the day, Jesus didn't have 100% approval rating.
Right.
It still doesn't. Mm-hmm. I sure as hell am not going to have 100% approval rating. If not everybody likes Jesus, not everybody's going to like me, and not everybody's going to like you. So forget about it. Forget about pleasing people and just be you.
Mm-hmm. That is so freeing. So freeing. Okay. So a couple questions to wrap this up.
Okay.
If I have an extra $100,000, because you're on the Mommy Millionaire Show.
Yeah.
So if you have an extra $100,000 in the bank and you need to invest it somewhere, where would you put it right now?
Well, I'm a firm believer that the best investments that you can make with the highest ROI is investment in yourself and your education.
Okay. I love it. So who hire a coach, go to an event?
Hire the right coach.
Mm.
Go to the right event. Surround yourself with the right people. And don't go to the event and be one of those passive people, sit in the back and don't talk to nobody. Go out there and get uncomfortable. Go meet people. Go introduce yourself. What is the worst thing somebody can say? F off? Who cares? Just go out there and get out of your skin a little bit and meet people and greet people and go out there. There's so many coaches out there, and here's one thing I don't want people to do. Okay. And this is a sure way disaster. So you have $100,000. Don't go get six coaches and listen to 10 different people and all that.
Yeah.
Choose one.
Mm-hmm.
Choose one coach with a proven track record. Go all in with that coach and listen to that person. And that coach is someone who you aspire to be, someone who's inspiring you. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Somebody already made all the mistakes for you. Somebody already has effed everything up and learned what not to do. So this way you don't have to do it. You can either learn by making a mistake or you can learn from other people's mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what, I've been investing in myself for 7 years now and I've always made more money year after year after year. And so I'll never stop investing in myself, but I think it's a lot of people just get scared. They feel like it's safer to invest it in, real estate or whatever. And I'm like, no, I love that you said that the best thing.
No real estate. No stocks, no bonds, nothing is going to give you a higher ROI. You're never going to outgrow, your income is never going to outgrow you as a person.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you can't have, $100,000 way of thinking and make $1 million. It just doesn't happen.
Yep.
So you got to expand that mind. You have to expand that, man, and be able to invest in yourself. I spent about $150,000 on my formal education, and ever since then, probably a couple of $1 million, for me to learn everything else. But that couple of $1 million has made me 10x that couple of million dollars that I've done. You know, it's a no-brainer to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, you guys plug the Mommy Millionaire live event right there, first of all. You guys get to know.
Well, you know what, man? You know, you gotta let me know about your events.
Yeah.
You know, because what you're doing with the women is just, we need more women like you.
And that's what, well, that's the whole mission of Mommy Millionaire is I know I can't change the world alone. And so I want to just bring up more and more Mommy Millionaires to go out there and share the message of abundance to the world. So that's what we're doing. Okay. So what is the most shameless thing you've done to build your business?
Shameless thing done to build my business. I've done everything, man. I mean, you know, at one point I went and I was delivering, I delivered 10,000 door hangers.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I walked to apartments and homes and all that, mm-hmm. put in door hangers. I got chased by dogs. You know, I swear to God, there were some crack homes that I went to, and I was like, putting something, open up the door. I'm like, what are they doing there? You know what I mean? I got chased, you know, I did whatever it took, man. Imagine me, you know, what you see now at, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I was going there and putting an apartment to sketch apartments in Riverside. You know what I mean? You know, and what you name it. I've done it. You name it.
I wish you had a videographer then. It would make for good footage.
Oh, you know, and here's another thing, you know, I went back home, Sharon, Pennsylvania. And every year I go and give a scholarship to my old high school, but I went there this year, a few extra days, and I shot a documentary.
Oh, wow.
And it's being edited. It's going to be amazing. Once the documentary comes out, you know, I'm going to invite you and we're going to have a red carpet. There's going to be a black tie.
Oh my gosh. Yay. Yeah. Yes. I'm coming. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, the reason why I ask, like, you know, what is the most shameless thing is because this podcast is all about getting people out of their comfort zone and taking action, you know, and just going out there and not caring what people think. You just got to go do you, right? So let's end this podcast because I feel like you're the perfect person to do this for them. You know, you've had all this success and you're going through hard things in life right now, but you're not giving up. You're continuing to just persevere and not only persevere, but thrive at the same time, which I love and I respect so much, Sam. I want you to tell everybody, what is the one thing that they could do after they get off this podcast to make their life better?
Number one thing you got to do is if you want to be successful, change your circle of influence.
Yep.
You know, now I'm not saying, hey man, go break up with everybody and go nuts to everybody. But listen, man, if you are going to hang around drug dealers, you're going to be a drug dealer.
Yep.
You know, you're going to hang around thugs, you're going to be a thug. To hang around millionaires, you're going to become a millionaire.
Yep.
You know, just go change your surroundings. You know, a lot of times we don't pay attention to these things, you know, because we're like running on autopilot, right? But just take a look around, man. Stop for a second. You know, look at your life from a 30,000 foot view and say, you know what? Who do I need to surround myself with? I'm going to give you an example really quick. I know this, right? I know this, you know, and I know, you know. So, you know, about a month and a half ago, you know, everybody asked me, Sam, are you going to ever get a private jet? Are you going to get a private jet? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to. But because to me, my mind rejected it. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be that successful to have a private jet. You know, in my mind totally rejected it. You know, like, you know, Mr. Positivity and Mr. You Can Achieve Everything. Even my mind rejected that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a little too much. I don't know. Even if I had the money, I probably won't get it. And all that kind of stuff. You know, because I was too insecure to say, you know what, I probably won't get there. You know, and my friend Ed Milet said, Sam, cancel your flight. We're both going to Missouri. You know, you can come by private jet. We'll fly together. I was in Costco when I got that email. And I'm sure to my wife, I'm like, oh my God, we're going to private jet. We're going to private jet. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, she goes, well, did you answer him yet? I'm like, no, absolutely not. I'm going to let him wait 30 minutes. I can't just act like I'm so excited. So I said, Ed, absolutely. So I sat in a jet with Ed and yeah. He's breaking down how easy it is to actually take one of those. He actually broke down with everything that I had to do. And now all of a sudden I'm like,
oh,
yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get a private jet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because yep. I surrounded myself with that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you surround yourself with people that you want to be like, the possibilities are endless.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. So when you get your private jet, I'm coming on it.
Let's do it.
And then you're going to break it down for me.
You're going to probably get it before I do, but either way, I'm coming to yours or you're coming to mine.
I love it. So thank you so much for being on today.
It's an honor.
I learned so much, and you guys stay tuned for the recap. But if you guys loved this episode and you learned something from Sam, I want you to take a screenshot right now, and I want you to tag me and Sam on Instagram and tell us what you learned, because we never get to like this place where we don't need to get our cup filled up. We need to know how we're impacting your life. And I know Sam said something to every single one of you guys listening in today. So we accept a lot of screenshots on Instagram coming through. Okay. So you guys stay tuned for the recap. And Sam, thank you so much for bringing so much value to the Mommy Millionaire Show. We're going to link up your Instagram and the camps and the nutrition. We're going to link it all up so that way you guys can get more and more of Sam, because he's the best. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to mommymillionaire.co. Make sure to follow Mommy Millionaire on Spotify and subscribe on iTunes. And it would mean the world to me if you left a 5-star review of the show. And as always, ladies, go out there and get what you want.